And good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. Cranston Mayor Alan Fung is holding a news conference at 10 o'clock this morning. And the purpose, according to his campaign spokesman, is to announce his candidacy as a Republican for governor. The campaign launch also includes a 6 p.m. rally. Fung is the son of Chinese immigrants and will become the third major candidate to formally announce gubernatorial ambitions. Moderate-turned-Republican Ken Block and Providence Mayor Angel Taveras, who's a Democrat, have also thrown their hats into the ring. In Woonsocket today, a new nonprofit is opening with the aim of helping people avoid the pitfalls of payday lenders. Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick reports on what is known as the Capital Good Fund.
Capital Good Fund is a brick-and-mortar store that offers people an alternative to high-priced payday lenders. Funded by a $57,000 grant from the United Way, it expects to help 600 people a year, according to founder and director Andy Posner.
People are charged 260% APR by the payday lenders. In contrast, we'll be charging 30% plus a 4% closing fee. So that can come to hundreds of dollars in savings and interest over the course of a year.
Clients will also be counseled in financial management strategies aimed at weaning them from payday loans. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Veterans Day is a week away, and Newport has a traditional way of marking the holiday. As Rhode Island Public Radio's John Bender reports, an annual service honors the little-known Battle of Point Judith.
Just before Germany surrendered during World War II, a German submarine, or U-boat, stationed off the coast of Newport, torpedoed a boat carrying coal to Boston. Two U.S. naval destroyers retaliated, sinking the U-boat in what became known as the Battle of Point Judith. Though the battle is seldom mentioned in most World War II histories, many Newporters know it well. A service has been held every November to remember the 55 German soldiers who died in the sub. One of the few U.S. soldiers still alive who remembers the Battle of Point Judith says he still wonders why the U-boat torpedoed the Boston-bound vessel. Germany would surrender in a matter of days, and the submarine had been ordered to return home. John Bender, Rhode Island Public Radio.
The University of Rhode Island says 125 students have already signed up for their new winter semester. The term, known as January term, runs for 2 weeks, starting on January 2nd. The idea is to provide intensive courses that help students get caught up on credits or to provide opportunities for travel and community service projects. URI is hoping to get roughly 200 students to sign up for the first year of the program. And the Bearded Bunch is about to lose some of that famous facial hair. Red Sox slugger David Ortiz and outfielder Shane Victorino are going to shave their beards today as part of a promotion at Gillette headquarters in Boston. They'll be joined by one fan chosen on social media and Boston policeman Steve Horgan, who was stationed at the Red Sox bullpen this season and famously pictured celebrating one of Ortiz's big hits in the series against Detroit. Elsewhere in sports, the Patriots beat the Steelers in a high-scoring game yesterday. The final score was 55-31. The Celtics lost to Detroit 87-77. They'll be at Memphis this evening.
50 years ago, French-born cultural historian Jacques Barzon wrote a lyrical paean to baseball. His most noted passage was, "Whoever wants to know the heart and mind of America had better learn baseball, the rules, and reality of the game." Modern-day commentators are not as florid as Barzon. Much hand-wringing nowadays is devoted to the supremacy, as measured by television ratings, of professional football to our national pastime. But in the warm afterglow of the Red Sox' improbable victory over the St. Louis Cardinals, there are lessons to be learned. Especially for those of us who live in New England, the beating heart of Red Sox Nation. The first takeaway from our team is that leadership matters from the top down. When the group led by John Henry bought the team 10 years ago, there was lots of kvetching around our parochial part of New England because he beat out a local group of Boston investors to get the team. Yet at the time, a few smart people who actually know about baseball, famously baseball writer Peter Gammons, said the fans would be surprised at how well this would turn out. It has, because Henry has invested in the franchise, brought in new executives, beefed up the minor league operations, and hired wisely. The results? The Sox, a team known for futility in the 20th century, are now the most successful franchise of the 21st. Henry has hired good people and stuck with them. Yet he has also followed the maxim of another famous New Englander, Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said that a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of a small mind. When things didn't work out, Henry embraced change. He fired manager Terry Francona 2 years ago after a September swoon knocked the Sox out of the playoffs. And Henry canned the self-centered Bobby Valentine after last year's disastrous season. To Fenway came low-key John Farrell, a former Sox pitching coach. He quickly earned the respect of his players. Another lesson is that in every organization, morale matters. Whether in business, politics, or education, it's almost impossible to be successful without everyone buying into the program and contributing. In sports, this has come to be known as chemistry. The Sox of yore were known as a team of 25 players that took 25 cabs home after games. This year's team ate meals together. They grew ZZ top-length beards. Where the players' clubhouse was once a den of rumors and leaks to reporters, the 2013 edition was remarkably cohesive and focused on the mission of winning. Many organizations are brought down by prima donnas. Talent, of course, is necessary in any successful endeavor, but checking egos at the door helped this team immeasurably. All season, different players stepped up to push the Sox to victory. One night it was Johnny Gomes, the next Mike Napoli, John Lester, John Lackey, or Shane Victorino. Most of these players were coming off down years, but all of them rose to the occasion. Players knew their roles. Even when a man was benched in favor of a teammate, there was no grousing to the media. Graciousness in victory was another hallmark. The first words out of Farrell's mouth Wednesday night after his team vanquished St. Louis was to congratulate the Cardinals on their fine season and talk about what a great team they have. Our leaders in Washington have slogged through endless debates over immigration reform. But where would our Sox be without such foreign-born players as Japanese closer Koji Uehara, the Dominican slugger David Ortiz, and rookie sensation Xander Bogaerts, a native of Aruba? This team is proof that the freest nation in the world can assimilate newcomers with talent. New England is often seen by outsiders as America's attic. We value and respect the past. Is there any greater historic preservation project than Fenway Park? Less than a generation ago, there was a serious conversation about tearing down Fenway and building a new stadium. But the Henry ownership took another route, investing millions to restore and upgrade America's oldest professional baseball stadium. The result? Other cities have giant telecom park or huge bank bailout stadium. We have Fenway, still humbly named for its surrounding neighborhood. Yet the biggest lesson of this season is about all those experts who think they know what's going to happen before the games are played. Well, they don't. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe, arguably the region's top baseball writer, wrote in spring training that, quote, it's difficult to pick them anywhere but last. Our politicians ought to think about that one before they have an anxiety attack over the next public opinion poll. Why is baseball a better game than football? Here we heed the words of George Will, the conservative political writer. Football, says Will, is too much like modern life. Violence interrupted by committee meetings. We've all had enough baseball for now. Rest up over the holidays. Spring training begins in 15 weeks.